Hi, and welcome back to the Sex Life Podcast. This episode, I'm talking with Mia and Maria from AdultShop.com. Adult Shop has both online and retail stores for adult toys, sex toys, accessories, things like vibrators and DVDs and lingerie and lubes. And we have a bit of a talk about how that's changed over the years and how it's not always what people expect those stores to be like. So I hope you enjoy. Thanks for coming, or thanks for being with me, Maria and Mia, from Adult Shop.
And, our pleasure.
It's really exciting, actually. I think it's a really interesting topic to talk about because the adult supply or toys industry has changed so much so quickly, and it'd be interesting to find out your side of it.
Yeah, no, it definitely has changed. Yeah. Like I was saying before, you know, when I first started, you know, 17 years ago, we were Barbarella's back then. And, you know, it was a stereotypical adult shop with magazines, majority of the store, and videos, and a few toys.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just men predominantly coming into the store, you know, looking at magazines, reading books. It's like a library, you know, rubbing up against the...
library, I like that.
And then trying to actually, you know, maybe, oh, do you want some lubricant with that video? trying to actually make a sale with something else was really hard. And then, you know, when we actually changed over to Adult Shop and we rebranded and obviously went online as well, a massive change, you know, we sort of refurbished all the stores, they were also light and bright and airy.
Yeah.
But it was still getting those people back into the store who were all like, oh my God, what's behind that door, you know?
Yeah.
And once they're in there, they're like, ah, oh, this is really cool, didn't expect.
You must see that reaction a lot, that, oh my God, it's just like...
Yeah. You people are just so normal, you know, how do you talk about this all day long?
Yeah.
The answer to that is we don't actually think about what you're going to go home and do with it. Otherwise you couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, you need to sort of detach yourself a little bit.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Sure. So when Barbarella started 17 years ago, the internet really wasn't a thing then, so online porn wouldn't have been a thing back then.
No, well, I started 17 years ago. Barbarella's had been going for many years, actually, in the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was no internet or anything like that. No, we even like inter-store was a memo, you know, just sign it to say that you'd read it.
Did you have those envelopes that we inter-office memo envelopes?
Yeah, pretty much.
I've had them as well.
it's really quite funny how things have changed now. It's like, oh my God, the internet's down. It's like it's fine. You know, we can cope with that.
Well, for so many years,
it's become so reliant. But you know, with that becomes new toys, and even back in those days, everything was battery operated, 100%. And I remember when the very first rechargeable product came in, my boss went, oh, no way. And I went, I think you're wrong because I actually have people asking for them. And, you know, from one little product that we had was probably 8 years ago to now, I'd say 90% of the products we sell are rechargeable.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, the products are designed for women, usually by women. So, you know, a girl's G-spot's not 8 inches inside her. Surprise, surprise, but it's not. So, these toys which are really, uniquely crafted and shaped, you look at it and go, oh, actually, someone's put some thought into that. Yeah, that's energy. It doesn't need, I'm never ever going to say size doesn't matter, but it,
with the shape and
the curves and the design, it's amazing. And what they're made out of now is, all medical grade silicone.
Yeah.
Whereas years ago, it was all made of plastic and latex and phthalates, and women were getting these nasty irritations and allergic reactions, but not even knowing, and just going, Barley's never using a sex toy again. Knowing what it was.
Yes.
So that's all these sort of things that have changed and are making life's so much better for women. Yeah. But, you know, we see so many people, but there's still so many people that we don't see.
Yeah, exactly. Every day I'm still getting first-timers that have never been
into
the store.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And they're in their, some of them are in their 30s and 40s that have never been into an Elle store.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, oh, I heard about you through a friend, and they'll be in the store, and, oh, wow, this is so nice. And it's like,
So it's completely different to what a lot of people, I think what the stereotype of an adult store would be is, you know, blacked out windows and dark and, you know, a bit dank smelling and, But it doesn't need to be like that at all.
No, definitely not like that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there are stores still like that. And that's fine because those customers don't like stores like we have either.
No, because there is a bit of shame about buying toys and
Absolutely, there is. And people still, you know, oh my God, you sell what? You do what? You know, is that?
Oh, I hear you on that.
Sometimes I still get asked, do you have a back door? It's like, it's, you know?
Yeah, right.
No, we don't have a back door, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, that could go so many different ways.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, it's quite funny though, because all of our stores all used to have two entrances.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then we, just for security reasons, we end up, back in Perth, there's only one that we actually had to keep open the whole time.
Yeah.
But then we've just reopened another one. And it's quite interesting that a lot of people now are using that again, you know. Oh. Like it depends where the store is. We've opened stores up. I mean, where we are now in Tasmania, this would not work in Perth. And this is something that we would look at and go, no way. It's on a main road. It's near lights.
Yep.
People can see you walking in. You can't get through the back door. Yeah. It's so everything against what we would do. We did it once in Perth. The store didn't even last a year because people didn't want to be seen walking in the store.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know who could see them. Yeah. Walking in and out, so it just doesn't work. Whereas this works for some reason.
Isn't it really interesting?
Yeah, it is.
Just different areas.
Once people have been into the store once or twice, they're not scared about coming in anymore.
No.
They come in, they're comfortable, and they're not worried about walking out the door.
No.
It's very rare now that I get someone that's scared about walking out the door and who they're going to see or who they're going to see in here as well. So
I think with Tassie, because everyone sort of really, they don't travel much. So if you live in a suburb, you sort of stay in that suburb. So if you come to this suburb to come to this store, you know, your friends and family are probably on the other side of the river or in a different place. And
But I get lots of people from Moona too.
You're right.
Lots of people from Moona, Glenorchy, and Newtown. Lots of people come here.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So having a shop, having a street shop front has really worked well.
Yeah, it does. Gosh. And people will look at the sign when they're walking past, oh, we had to come in and have a look at what you were all about. So
It's quite funny. I was sitting doing something near the window, and I heard someone go, oh, I haven't been into an adult shop for a long time. I had a bit of a giggle and I was like, that's funny. Okay, I get it. We just take it so for granted.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just expect that everyone just takes it all for granted, you know?
Yeah. It surprises me that so many people are still saying, I haven't been into a shop before.
Yeah.
And I kind of would have thought that more people would, you know, be more into buying things, but that really surprised me.
Yeah.
Even buying lubricant, I think, even in a shopping centre.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to people, if they eventually come in, so what lubricant do you use? Oh, just your baby oil or, you know, Vaseline or something like that.
KY, and I'm like, would never use that, that's disgusting.
It is. It's not my favourite either.
But, you know, at least that's a lubricant that some people just too embarrassed to even talk about.
No.
Talk about, you know, once you introduce them just to even a good lubricant, your whole life is changed just from that one product.
There is nothing better than a good lube.
No, absolutely.
Oh, now look, we've got to go from there. I wanted to talk about the internet changing things. Because you have an online store as well.
We do.
So do you find that's a way for people to get into shopping?
We find I've actually was always based just for retail for adult shop. Now I'm sort of a lot more involved in the website as well.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of people will go on there to check it out and look at some products and then come into the store.
So they come in with a bit of confidence, and a bit of knowledge.
Yeah, beforehand. They sort of have an idea, which is fantastic. And we may not have the exact product that they've seen online, but we can sell them something that's very similar or maybe even better than what they've seen. You know, sometimes people go, oh, you know, this one's like $20 and this one's like $50. We'll go for the $20, but there's obviously a reason why there's a price difference. And then once you explain that to them, then, you know, so I still think, you know, bricks and mortar stores are better than online for that reason. Yeah. But then it works vice versa as well. They can come in and get all that information and then go home, you know, and buy it online. You know.
And if they've looked online, they've had a bit of a think about it.
That's right. Yeah,
they're not sort of deer in the headlights when you're in the store.
I find that they've been online to have a look.
Yeah.
Then they'll come in the store because they want to touch the product. They want to feel it. They want to know what it does.
That's really interesting because touch is so important.
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, if like I've had a couple of girls come in and they've bought stuff online.
Yeah.
It hasn't been what they wanted.
Yeah.
So they'll come in store and they'll say, have you got something similar or something better?
Yeah.
So then I'll show them something better. And, they seem to... They seem to like that better than, you know...
Yeah, because the feel of something and, you know, the shape and
touch,
and whether how hard and soft.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And even the noise factor, you know, because you can't hear a toy when you're buying it online. You know, it's only once you've got it home in your own room that you're like, oh, actually, think about that noise and that buzzing when everyone else in the house is going to hear what I'm doing. So that's important as well. So it is still, you know, I believe it's still better to come into the store to buy.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially, but it's good for those people who are like a couple. Maybe the female doesn't feel comfortable coming in. And so, you know, they've sort of done a little bit of research online first and then come in. And and that's where we come in, you know, the girls come in to play and give all their product knowledge and advice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone could be coming in for this and we're like, okay, we've got this, but we think this is probably a little bit better and the reasons and give them all the features and benefits. And then it's all the things that go with it. It's not just having a vibrator, because vibrator's not going to work without a good lubricant. And you need to clean it, because there's nothing worse than buying a toy and it ended up with a bacterial thing growing on it. So it's all those really important other little things as well. And, you know, show them other things that they wouldn't ever looked for. If they're walking in looking for a vibrator, they're going to have, you know, tunnel vision. That's what they're looking for. But then there's so many other things that we can offer and suggest and just show them. And hopefully, you know, they'll come back and, you know, love what they've bought and love the experience. And and they do. And we get so many repeat customers.
You get a lot of people, I think, if they come in for the first time, then realising all the things they can experiment with and all the different...
Yeah,
the whole world that is...
And it is so normal. They see other people in here too going, oh, actually, you know, there is other people in the world buying sex toys, not just me and the deviant.
Well, some days we're flat out. Sometimes it's like... You know, we can have four or five customers at once. And, you know, like kind of like I've had the experience where, you know, like two people have known each other. And I just turn around and say, well, they're in here for the same reason you are. So it's like... And then they seem to relax. So,
But we are very discreet as well. You know, that's one of the things that the girls are trained. You know, when you... If you're in the store by yourself and there's, you know, one customer, then you can talk about whatever quite openly. But if you've got a few other people in the store... You do need to sort of be a little bit discreet, you know, and that's the way we sort of set up the stores as well, because you don't want to have anal section right at the front of the store.
And that would put...
That's right. And, you know, you don't want to have the masturbation or the pump sections right where everyone can see it. So we do, you know, manoeuvre the store around, and you can feel when someone is a little bit cautious and is kind of waiting for everyone else to leave the store. And then, you know...
I do that in clothes shops though, wait for people to leave so I can just rummage around by myself.
But it's that, you know, then they sort of, and then once they've built that rapport with the girls, then they feel comfortable. And then we end up being, you know, counsellors and, you know,
commandants. Really interesting questions, yeah, I imagine.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, they feel comfortable enough to tell you, you know, this one's for my wife, or this one's for my mistress, and, you know, yeah, this is for me, but none of them know about this. And, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, fine. We're not here to judge. We're just here to make sure you get a great product. And
yeah,
that's it.
So you're seeing more women, it sounds like, coming in than men.
I would
say some stores
are different.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we've got 13 stores altogether.
Right.
So we've got obviously one in Tasmania, but the rest are in WA.
Yep.
And some of our stores are a lot more men, some are a lot more women, and some are a lot more, you know, couples.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably about 50-50, I'd say.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, that's surprising to me.
And probably more up on the women these days.
Yeah.
And I mean, DVDs is probably only about 5% of our business, not even that anymore.
Because a lot of that would be taken over by the online.
That's right. Yeah. And we don't even sell magazines anymore.
No.
It's just a dying phase. It, you know, it's gone.
Yeah, I tried to buy a magazine for a client. Oh gosh, a year ago, and I had to really hunt. And the style of toys, like, they seem to be becoming more well designed, and the mechanics inside them are getting better, and the materials used are getting better, and they're becoming a more quality toy.
They are.
Seeing more of that.
Absolutely. Like I said before, you know, they are more designed for a woman's shape and curve, and even for men, you know, there's a lot more prostate toys, you know, like P-spot, you know, toys, whereas before it was never, ever a thing.
No.
You know, it was nothing.
No.
So, you know, people obviously realise, you know, it's good for health as well.
Yes.
You know, and we do sell a lot of products that are designed, you know, to benefit you, you know, in your health. You know, like, you know, pelvic floor balls and and the pumps. Yeah. And, you know, we get a lot of men who come in who've had prostate cancer or diabetes and things like that, that just either can't get an erection or maintain one, you know, and the doctor sent them in here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, unfortunately not a lot of them come back to tell us how good it if it's worked or not, but you know, it's great because we get so many different customers from, you know, different things. But yeah, going back to the question, the products have changed, you know, and the shapes have definitely changed, and the fabric and the material that it's used, a lot quieter, you know.
Thank God.
And the speed, you know, like, you know, different speed, and and, you know, and if you've ever heard of the womanizer or seen the womanizer, I mean, that's just completely revolutionary. You know, there was, if that someone had sent, I got on my desk and I was like, what is this ear thermometer? That's not gonna work. And, you know, no vibration. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you need to try it. And I was like, oh gosh. And I was like, okay, so, you know, I had to do some homework, and I was literally blown away by something that, without vibration, and looks so strange, can actually work. And it has been our number one selling toy since we had it in a year ago.
Yeah.
And they've just released the new version.
And that is incredible. That is the most, most incredible toy ever invented, that
I'm a bit scared to get one, because when I bought my favourite vibrator, I didn't actually leave the house for 3 days. So if I buy a
womanizer, I never buy a womanizer, you won't leave the house.
I know. I'll be lost.
Can we ask you what it was?
Palm Power. Because I bought all the attachments for it as well, because I love massages. So I get massages as well as orgasms, and I'm just done.
Palm Power has been good, actually. That's a good product. I remember about 5 years ago, we could not get any sort of wand like that at all.
No, no, and even and the, you know, the Hitachi that's really famous, well, because it's UK, US voltage. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I remember speaking to our distributors, and they're like, no, there's no call for that. And I was like, I think there is. Yeah. And now we've got hundreds of them to choose from, and, you know, we sell a lot of them. But I still, like, think, oh, it's so big. You can just so desensitise you so much. And that's what the difference is with the womanizer. Yeah. Because it doesn't give you direct contact, you can't get desensitized. So you can just have multiple orgasms continually because there's no contact, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every girl who said to me, oh no, Mia, no, I like strong vibration. I'm like, yeah, I'm hearing you, but try it. I've had calls in the middle of the night going, I've just thrown out all my toys now. All I need. You can try me tomorrow, but thanks for sharing.
And it's funny, I have girls come in and they say, that's the only thing on my bedside table is the womanizer.
Yep.
I've packed away all my other toys. And it's
interesting.
Like,
Yeah. I wonder if it's because women's anatomy, there's more sort of scientific research and understanding into
anatomy.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even know the full shape of the clitoris until, like, what was it, 8 years ago or something. So, yeah.
It's quite funny. But, I say to girls, you know, it doesn't matter what toy you've had. If you've never had a toy before, anything is going to be good for the first time.
Exactly, yeah.
But you may as well start off with something really good.
You don't have a drawer full.
Just need one. And then come up for another.
It's really funny. I had a woman ring and speak to Alicia on the Tuesday before Christmas.
Yeah.
To tell me I'm a genius for selling her the womanizer and to wish me a Merry Christmas.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I've never been called a genius before, but
we've had people come back and we've saved their marriages, you know, like which is really nice, you know, people have come in and like, how come, you know, I guess when you're in a marriage for so long, things get mundane, you know, day to day routine. You come home, you're tired, and you can easily just go to bed, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Next day happens, and it continually happens. You know, amount of time, I've got men coming in. How can I boost my women's libido? Well, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. There's a lot of things around a woman's life that need to change.
Absolutely. Yeah. But if they've, you know, got enough courage to talk about it and maybe that's come in thing, together, then we can help them, you know.
Mm.
But it's getting them in here.
Yeah.
Once they're here, then the girls do their job and, you know, we can help.
Yeah.
They've got to be open.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't.
No.
They just still don't want to. No, I don't need a sex toy. I've got a husband. But you can add something to that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if your husband would like a sex toy.
That's right.
A little while back, I had a guy in his 70s come in the store.
Yeah.
His wife wouldn't come in, but he did. And he went home with one of our good toys. And then he came back to me about 2 weeks later and said, thank you so much, you've saved my marriage.
Oh.
And that was the sweetest thing because their marriage had just, it had gone.
Like
their marriage was gone. And to show them a life of toys, I mean, she went rah 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 when she saw the price of the toy. But then like, it was like all the time they were using the toy. So got their marriage back on track.
Because once you start getting sort of sexual tension in a marriage, then everything else gets tension around it as well. Even just touching on hugging has implications. And
you'd say that as well. It's when people say sex isn't everything, but it is certainly a lot of things,
a lot of things
in your relationship. If you can't have that intimacy and that, you know, openness and fun, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and if you have the idea that sex is just penis and vagina and everything else is just
starfish sex.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it can be so much more. Something else I thought of was maybe the types of toys might have changed. I'm thinking after Fifty Shades of Grey and people started to experiment more.
Fifty Shades of Grey was our biggest sale time ever. It was just unfortunate that no one in the sex industry or the adult industry had been given a heads up about it because we literally ran out of stock.
Really?
We did not. Yep. Like I was buying stock from anywhere and everywhere. It didn't matter what it was, as long as it was something. And we were doing record days. This is in August, you know, September. You know, like it was unbelievable. And people were just coming. Men were coming in with the list going, I want everything in the book.
And as soon as their wives had finished the book, they'd be coming, I need this, I need this. I need your help. Yes. She's just been Fifty Shades of Grey. And I'd go around and say, here.
And I remember full on to the girls, you know, this is what's in the books. You know, this is what you need to order. This is what you need to have. But, you know, people who'd never even had a sex toy, but then, you know, going into bondage and and balls and any balls possible. And unfortunately there was no balls. There's only one lot of the balls that we had.
Yeah.
And they were $90 and it was the only company who just continually made them. and that's people were buying them because that's all we had.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the next year, there were so many balls on the market. It was like, we've probably still got thousands of them sitting out there. And people go, I'll give them to you. I'm like, no, I don't want these balls anymore. But those silver balls, oh, my goodness. It was just, I think it was just every woman's fantasy. Even if they had never thought about it, it was putting them in this fantasy and they all wanted this for some reason.
It changed. It changed everything for women, I think.
It changed the whole industry.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Interesting.
And it wasn't just at the time either. I find now that women who were scared to ask me for bondage gear before, they come up and ask me now.
Yeah,
they're not frightened to ask me, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey just opened women's eyes to what there is out there. So,
I mean, I know Bunnings ran out of rope and zip ties and,
and tape.
And tape.
Yeah. Their tape was gone,
So they were just as much in trouble as we were.
Like, there's so much stuff from the hardware. And they'll come up in their little uniforms and say, can I help you? And I'm, no, probably not. But no, I did actually, I was buying heavy plastic sheeting to do neuro massage on the bed and I was getting quite a bit of it. And he said, he was trying to get out of me what it was for. Oh, he said, are you having a barbecue? Are you putting it on the table? No. And so eventually I said, I'm doing naked massages on it. Oh.
You asked.
We got there in the
end. Yeah. It's quite funny when people are amazing. Oh, right. I remember being on a flight from Perth to Sydney and sitting down and this Asian lady sat next to me and she had the Chinese Bible with her highlighter.
Right, writing, very serious business.
Lovely. I put my headphones on and looked out the... I thought, like, I'm not getting a conversation.
Yeah.
So she tried throughout the flight and I was like, you know, being polite, but not, you know, when we landed, she's like, do you know where such and such is? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I don't. I'm not from here. I'm not from here either. I'm here on a Bible convention. I'm like, oh, lovely, that's good. Why are you here? I said, I'm here for work. Oh, what do you do? I said, I just work in retail. What sort of retail do you do? Oh, okay, you've asked for it.
Yeah.
I said, I work in the adult industry. Oh. She looked down, put her hand on the Bible. Jesus loves everybody, you know. I'm sure he does. Thank you. I've got my own religion. Honestly.
Yeah. Bless. She tried.
She asked. Too many questions.
It's funny to me that 50 Shades of Grey had that response because it was, the books were not great
what
to
did
read.
You think of the book?
I couldn't read it.
Yeah,
I really disliked it. I got to about page 5 and no, can't cope. And so for that reason, I didn't go to the movies either because a lot of the excerpts I read were maybe giving not a great impression of BDSM.
Mm.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like sometimes porn's taken out of context as well, like sort of mainstream porn. You get a lot of, for me anyway, a lot of younger people saying, oh, this is how you do sex. And it's just, you know, one way of doing it. It's how I've seen it. And how you should look like is how you should be in porn. So that style has shaped their sexual understanding really strongly.
Yeah.
And it's not a great teaching tool. So, But at least 50 Shades of Grey got people talking and thinking and exploring.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. I read all the books. Well, I read all 3 books when it first came out.
Yeah.
Because my best friend had it and she said, oh, you have to read this, you have to read this.
Yeah, right.
And so I grabbed the books and read them. I liked the books. Mm. I did.
Yeah.
But I found it, she'd done it from more a teenager's point of view instead of an adult's point of view.
Okay.
So, because Anastasia was a teenager.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But lots of women liked it. Lots of women didn't like it so much. But it made, like you said, it made people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at least it had that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so there's good and bad to everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
The good.
If nothing, it's introduced a whole another genre of women, you know. And I know, you know, I'd go to family functions where no one would normally ever talk to me about work, but as soon as I was there, they're like, oh, tell me, I'm just reading the books, I can't stop reading. Have you got this and have you got this? And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. We've never talked about it before, but that's fine.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Mm, yes.
What else can we do? Is there anything you guys want to talk about?
I don't know. I think just educating people that we aren't just here for sex toys. You know, we're here for lots of reasons. You know, I've had, you know, mothers and fathers come in saying their sons are just being introduced to sex.
Yep.
They don't want them looking at porn thinking that's how you make love to a girl.
Yeah.
You know, what have you got? How can I, you know, introduce them to it without having to sit down and discuss A to Z with them? You know, we used to have a really good book by Tracy Cox. It's called The Super Sex Guide.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a really good book to give to people like that, or to give to anyone. But it was a good one for them to sort of flick through. Oh, this is what you do, and this is what you do. Without having to, you know, ask mum and dad the questions. And look at, you know, on the internet, because, you know, you put clitoris or G-spot in there, you're going to get all sorts of things. You know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you get a lot of younger people starting to come in?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And that's actually probably the thing out of everything that shocked me.
Right.
Is the amount of 18-year-olds that will come in and go, I'm here for my first toy, or people coming in, or their friends coming in, they've all put in some money and want to buy a toy, and they're not just buying something for a gag.
No.
They're buying something, a good product, you know.
That's brilliant.
To experiment with, them, like, or to start with, I'm like, well, this is great, you know, like, yeah. I know the first toy I ever got, my husband bought it for me for my first Christmas, and I was just like, oh, don't you want to have sex with me anymore?
That's a really common response, and for men as well. If my partner's using a vibrator, they don't want my penis anymore.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And that was a lot of that's still out there so
it is,
much.
Isn't
so
it?
For these young kids to come in wanting a good product and good lube and wanting to experiment in all different aspects, you know, whether it's anal or just clitoral or G-spot or, you know, to even know that, you know.
Mm.
I mean, you can get 50-year-old woman coming and go, oh, no, I don't have a G-spot.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, no, I've never orgasmed.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
Yeah. It's just so sad. You're like, oh, my God, you know.
Mm.
How have you gone through a marriage?
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many women out there that, oh, no, I don't climax or I've never orgasmed. My husband does.
Mm.
But I don't. And you're like, right, okay, let's get you sorted out then. It's just... And then they come back. That's when they come back and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
I've rediscovered my youth.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not a rare occurrence, though.
Mm.
I have so many women between 30 and 50 that say, I've never had an orgasm.
Huh.
And it's like you take them through what there is and, what sort of feelings they've had before. And, and it's like, they really haven't had an orgasm. It's like,
see, that's where a shop would be so much have so much advantage over shopping online, because you can talk about feeling sensations and what have you experienced, and you can build on that.
Yeah.
The other thing that shocks me as well is that at Christmas time, what we sell a lot for men is women buying strap-ons for their husbands, like to use on their husbands.
It's
quite bizarre, because you just think it's strap-ons girl for a girl. But
no,
90% of them
are
anything. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. I find strap-ons interesting, because I get guys asking, oh, you know, can we do strap-on play? And that's fine. But I'll say, have you ever done anything anal before? No, no. Anything up there before? No, no. And we might start with small stuff first.
Yeah.
and they kind of feel like strap-on's the only way they can do anal play.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so even that they're asking for it is fantastic.
It's interesting. They'll come in looking for one thing, and it's interesting what they'll walk out with.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Or for their friend. Yeah. They're buying it for their friend. But then they realise, you know, we don't care. And, you know, that's when they let their guard down a little bit. And, I've had, you know, guys come in, oh, I need to buy some stockings for my partner. Okay, you're sort of asking sizing and things like that, and they go, you know what, it's actually for me.
I had a guy the other day do that exact thing. That was on Tuesday. He came in and he was so nervous at first, really really nervous, and I said, what size is she? And then he did say to me that it was for him.
Yeah.
And then I helped him get what he wanted. He said, thank you for being so understanding.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. We give them understanding.
No judgment.
No judgment. No judgment whatsoever.
I think as soon as they realise that there's no judgment in a store,
mm-hmm.
you know, must be such a feeling of relief.
Yeah. This guy, he said to me, you know, you're the very first person I've told that I, you know, like to cross-dress.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, I'm actually really flattered that you felt comfortable enough to tell me that.
You know,
and just became a regular customer.
Yeah.
And I had another guy who used to come in all the time, loved socks and stockings and outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And he was married, he was just a normal looking guy, and he'd buy himself a set and his wife the matching set. And then they'd come in together, and it'd be so cute. And I'd bring him out and go, guess what? I've got some new stuff in. He's like, great, I'll be in. He ended up owning his own lingerie company, which was perfect for him.
Oh, how lovely. How synergistic for
it. I know. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. So really cool that, you know, they are so comfortable and they're not going to, you know, feel like they're going to get beaten up. You know, the minute they say that, or you know, or looked at, or you know, have an opinion against.
Yeah. There's a few guys I have come in now that their wives love them to dress up in their lingerie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, they'll buy lingerie so that they can dress up for their women.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
So. Yeah. It's interesting to me that there's so many different ways of doing every kind of fetish or kink or...
Yeah, that's right.
And we might look at it and think, oh, that's what this is, but someone else has got a completely other idea.
Yeah.
Okay, you could do that too.
Yeah. That's one of the good things about sex, I think. Isn't there one way of doing it?
No, that's right.
Mm.
It'd be very boring.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Great.
So a big thanks to Mia Maria for coming on the show, and I thought it was really interesting. I hope you thought so too, and we'll see you next time. Bye.